First down, moving to his left. And now Walker fires downfield, looking for DJ Moore. Oh, my God! It's a diving catch for a Panthers touchdown. Wow! 62 yards. Carolina has tied the game.
Oh, my goodness.
It shows flashes.
Oh, there's the pick.
And it came off a deflection. And it's Gardner Johnson. That ball was deflected by Edwards, T.J. Edwards, the man who caused it.
Just about to be a touchdown until the incredible play by T.J. Edwards.
This is a third and one for Indy.
Is that a swarm around it? Bodies flying towards the football, and the Eagles claim they've got it. Edwards comes out of the pile with it.
He may have saved 2 points right there. Meanwhile, this is Travis Homer. Some tough running, and gain of 11. Greenlaw finally takes him down. And is caught. And it is Homer. First down. And Homer somersaults his way for what should be a first down.
Rodgers flips his hips, flips it downfield. Wide open. Tunyon. Touchdown. Packers.
To the outside with room. And into the end zone. Touchdown. Broke away from Evans. So Deontay Foreman, in he goes. 12 yards, 83 on the night.
And Temple again with a man in his face. It is batted before it could get to Gronkowski. That was Edmonds, who's 6'5" as a middle linebacker. Ball tapped around and picked off by Edmonds.
It has been an extremely busy week for Bears general manager Ryan Poles as free agent began, and he was not shy about splashing around the cash. Good Sunday morning to you. I'm Jeff Meller along with Brian Hanley. And Brian, it's actually easier to mention the players who did not make the highlight montage at the start of the season, start of the show here. Nate Davis, of course, also added hard to find guard highlights. DeMarcus Walker of the Tennessee Titans, he had a revelatory season last year, registering 7 sacks, and I believe Andrew Billings, big run-stuffing tackle, another man who's hard to find when it comes to highlights. But you heard DJ Moore from PJ Walker to start things out, TJ Edwards, Travis Homer, Robert Tunyon, Deontay Foreman, Tremaine Edmonds. It has been a busy, busy week for Ryan Poles, and I think the question is fair to ask, has he done enough?
The PJ to DJ, is that the all initial Hall of Fame? PJ make that? I mean,
PJ to DJ, and then we went right into a TJ Edwards highlight.
Yeah.
Good luck.
What word would you use for Ryan Poles? Disciplined? I mean, he had a ton of money.
Yes.
He still has quite a bit of money, right?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't. He got a lot of things accomplished, but he didn't go crazy, right? He wasn't like he was on shore leave and had a fistful of money.
Yes.
So, I mean, we'll talk to Josh Schrock, who covers the Bears for NBC Sports Chicago. I don't know what I expected exactly. I think it was pretty competent, what he did.
That's a good word to say.
Yeah. But he didn't overwhelm me. He didn't wow me. I mean, there are national outlets writing, boy, the Bears just, you know, they – what grade would you give them? I mean, it's tough for me to get my head around exactly what – he had such a to-do list. What did he actually accomplish?
No, it's a fair question. And if you'd like to grade Ryan Poles offseason so far, 312-332-3776, as always, we're here for you every Sunday morning up until 11 o'clock when Tyler Aki and Shane Norling will take over with some – March Madness coverage for you.
I'm on assignment in Columbus, by the way. So you're a much younger man than I. Don't, when you get together with your college buddies, don't try to act like you can drink like you did 30, 40 years ago.
Oh boy.
So I got here Friday for the Marquette game.
Yes.
You know, and they unfortunately played at 5:15 tonight Eastern time. It seems like I've been here for 2 weeks. It really does. And I just, you know, and God bless, everyone's picking Michigan State. So, I mean, I'm nervous about this game, but everyone loves Tom Izzo because it's March Madness. It's, you know, 20, I think he's made 25 consecutive tournaments.
Sounds right.
Yeah. So everyone's on Sparty. So I'm okay with that, but I'm still nervous. But Yeah, it's been what you call a long weekend.
Well, I mean, and it's been a chaotic weekend too. The tournament has if your Marquette squad can get through today, I mean, it's open for anybody. Oh. This one, I mean, this is crazy. I mean, unless of course you fall by the age old adage, you know, Alabama, the basketball school, is just eventually going to be their tournament. But I digress. Yeah, no, it's been fun to watch, and we're obviously here for that
Did anyone do a wellness check on Danny Zetterman today?
I have not touched base with him the Jayhawks were eliminated.
Because I heard him with Cap and Jay Hood on when I was listening to the show while I was driving to Columbus, and he said he had money on Kansas to win the whole thing, and why wouldn't you accept that? And I was in a survivor pool.
Yes.
It was $50 an entry, and you could only have two entries, which is, you know, good business, save me money. I had Purdue winning one game in my bracket. Okay. I thought they were a fraud. Big Ten didn't impress me. So I used them on Friday because I didn't think they were going to win two games. Yeah. They became this. I used them on both entries, too. So. And we're talking, there's like 1,000 people in this pool.
Yes.
And do the math. I think like $20,000 goes to the winner.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Matt Painter. Thank you very much.
How many people are remaining in said survivor pool?
Half. The Purdue wiped 35-40% of us.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. Matt Painter, you can send me $100. I'll give you my address.
I'm sure the check will be in the mail, Brian.
Who in the survivor pool can get the second number one seed in the history of the tournament bowing out? Me. Raise my hand right here.
I'm honestly a little surprised that you still have half left, roughly. I mean,
exactly right.
It's been a mad March Madness. I didn't look after.
You know, stopped. I was out. And I'm not paying attention. I'm sure Kansas took out probably another 25% yesterday.
Like every gambler, once you've lost, you don't give a damn what happens in the pool.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I'm watching the games, but because I'm betting on FanDuel or whatever. Sure. You know, it's $25 a game or whatever. Again, I've been here for 2 weeks. So, So I'm sitting in the lobby of the hotel with two of my buddies just like, what time's the game? We got another 36 hours? Okay, what do we want to do now? Oh, let's have another drink. Okay, help.
Listen, it sounds like a fabulous way to spend a weekend. So it's like every team in March Madness, Bry. Just survive in advance to next weekend if you can. That's the plan, right?
Yeah.
Everything else, you know, who cares?
Marquette had a guy who had 1 point at halftime, Cam Jones.
Mm-hmm.
He scored 18 consecutive points. Like no one else on the team scored in the second half against Vermont, who he played, Vermont on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that, you know, he's that type of player. I said at halftime, you know, he's got 1 point. He could score, you know, he could end up with 20. I didn't know he's going to score 18. Everyone else is going to watch him. It's the transfer portal. And I'm sure Tyler and Shea will, you know, they're the college basketball experts. So they'll get in. The transfer portal has really changed, you know, all these 13, 14, 15 seeds. Mm-hmm. It's not, I mean, it's not outlandish anymore because teams can rebuild themselves in 1 year, right?
I mean, well, and think about it too. So it's changed from the one and done, which, you know, maybe 10 years ago or so ish, maybe 15 at this point, really changed the landscape of college basketball.
Sure.
And it took, you know, some traditional powerhouse coaches like Coach K in particular, Mike Krzyzewski at Duke, for so long to finally adapt to it, right? And now we're seeing, you know, 3, 4, 5 years in, it really kind of resonate the transfer portal, where you don't have teams have an opportunity to, you don't have the veteran laden teams who have the opportunity to gel and kind of sneak up on somebody. I mean, unless we're going to consider Princeton, right? But the reality is, yes. Like, and the truth is, every college coach needs to constantly be recruiting even the players still on his team to ensure that they stay there because of the transfer portal.
And you don't know how to recruit high school kids now, because what do you sell them?
No.
Because you don't know who's going to be in the portal, right? So you can't, I mean, you can tell them anything you want, but if you're actually trying to be honest, you can't say, first of all, they never say, I'm going to be here for your entire 4 years or whatever. They always tell you that, and an hour later, take another job or pick you up. But it's just changed everything, right?
And
did I see Fairleigh Dickinson? They don't have a player like who's 6'2"? I think their tallest guy's like 6'1".
Is height important in basketball, Brian?
Apparently not.
Is that something you value as a college hoops observer?
Apparently, Zach Edey, 7'4" and three midgets can stop him. I don't know.
It's nuts. And I don't even know, you know, I'm sure most people had a Fairleigh Dickinson and Florida Atlantic ready to go in the second round. Everybody
I had Florida Atlantic winning two games. Don't ask me why. I did.
Well, you know, listen, that's the traditional nine seed. That's not so outlandish. But yes, Fairleigh Dickinson certainly dealt a swift blow to most people in their brackets early on, even for those who knew that Purdue were a fraud like you, still felt the brunt of that upset. Ooh. So
Ryan Poles sign anyone while we're talking about the tournament?
No signings as of yet, although there was an NFL trade that went down. The Houston Texans have sent Brandon Cooks, their wide receiver, who actually I think the Bears owe a huge debt of gratitude because he was critical in that comeback win against the Colts.
Yes,
that helped land the Bears the number one pick. So the Houston Texans send Brandon Cooks to the Dallas Cowboys for a couple of late round picks. I believe the fifth rounder was the headliner there. So another
wide receiver. Was he on Aaron Rodgers' shopping list?
He was not.
I'd love the fact that, my intention is to play for the Jets, and here's six guys you need to go get before we actually agree to anything, and then you have to work out a trade with the Pack. I mean, that's exhausting of itself, but, you know, you need to go get Odell, and here's, Randall Cobb, and here's a bunch of guys you used to play with. Go get those guys, and then we'll talk.
Going to run it back. We will talk about Aaron Rodgers and his interesting week as well. There's a mercurial superstar who demands the attention and sucks the life out of the media news cycle whenever he speaks on Pat McAfee. But of course, we'll give him a little bit of time because Bears fans are happy. I guess I'm getting premature here, which I always hate to do, Bri, but I mean, it really feels like Aaron Rodgers is not going to be the Packers quarterback. Now, it hasn't been done officially just yet, but it feels at this point damn near impossible where he could be the starting quarterback for the Packers next year. So we'll tackle that as well on this show. But again, 312-332-3776. If you'd like to check in and discuss where Ryan Poles is at right now in his free agency, I do want to tackle this here and kind of discuss the players that he brought in, some of the omissions right now, the notable omissions that have not come in. And I think that's kind of where we're at, because the free agent moves that Ryan Poles has made so far, while they look pretty solid on paper, when you scale back and look at the roster and the depth chart as a whole, there still are lots of holes. And I'd like to talk about that and continue to talk about Bears free agency. As Brian mentioned, we're going to have Josh Schrock join us at 9:30, right around 9:30, from NBC Sports Chicago. He will talk about the free agency as well, and maybe crosstalk with Tyler and Shay a little bit later on. But plenty to talk about here. We're here for you, 312-332-3776. Miller and Hanley on ESPN 1000.
ESPN Chicago on FM 100.3 HD2, the ESPN Chicago app, and ESPN 1000.
ESPN Chicago, where the pros go.
Theo Epstein joins us now here on Cap and J-Hood.
The game's been changing a lot the last 20 years. Front offices and people like me were partly responsible.
The pros trust us.
Optimizations, trying to put your team in a position to win a few more games, worked in that regard, but they didn't work in terms of putting the most entertaining product out there.
So can you.
Younger fans, they just want more action and less dead time.
ESPN Chicago.
I don't feel guilty about it because that was my job.
Where the pros go.
When you are betting and find yourself constantly thinking about gambling and you're losing more money than you have, are you really winning? If you're spending too much time with the slots or you can't stop betting on sports and you find yourself feeling overwhelmed, maybe lying, hiding your habit, and probably losing more money than you can afford to lose, you are not alone and you can get help. It's available 24/7 and it's confidential. When your betting has gotten out of hand, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit areyoureallywinning.com. Sponsored by the Illinois Department of Human Services and Gateway Foundation.
Hi guys, it's Sylvie for Window Nation. Have you noticed your energy costs have been rising dramatically? Nationwide energy prices have increased over 14% since last year. It isn't too late to do something to fix your high energy bills. Beat the spring rush with the last month of off-season pricing at Window Nation. Get two free windows with every two you buy with zero down payment, zero monthly payments, and zero interest for 24 months. New windows will pay for themselves with savings on your energy bills, and you'll pay nothing for two full years, saving you hundreds of dollars. Go with a window company that has installed nearly 2 million windows, including mine, by installers with over a decade of experience using only the top-of-the-line installation materials. Call 866-90-NATION and get two free windows with every two you buy with no limit. Plus, make no down payment and pay no interest for 24 months. This offer won't last long. Call Window Nation today, 866-90-NATION, or go to windownation.com and let them know that Sylvie sent ya.
Don't let spring flooding ruin your basement. Menards has everything you need to keep your home dry. Zinsser Watertight LX Ultra is a multi-purpose waterproofing paint. It's designed for interior and exterior use, and it's guaranteed to protect against leaks and dampness for 20 years. Pick up a gallon today for only $32.89 after 11% rebate. Good through March 19th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
I switched to Boost Mobile and got a free Samsung Galaxy A23 5G phone. Want to know the best part?
It was free?
Nope.
The fact that it's on America's largest 5G networks?
Nope. It's the ding.
Oh, yeah. Love the ding.
Right? It's all about the ding. It's the dingarooski, the dingaroner, the ring-a-ding-ding.
Unleash your power to save with Boost. Get a free Samsung Galaxy A23 5G phone when you switch. Boost Mobile. Unleash your power.
And the ding.
Limited time offer. New customers only. Available on select networks. 5G not available everywhere. One device per line. Tax excluded. Additional restrictions apply. See your local Boost Mobile store for details.
Meet Joe A.
Hi.
Joe B.
Hello.
And Joe C.
What's up?
Three everyday Joes perfecting their banking with Chase. Joe A is locking his lost debit card with the Chase mobile app. Joe B is cruising toward his new ride with AutoSave. And Joe C's Chase banker is helping him budget to go back to school. Tools that help protect, support for what's next. One bank that puts you in control. Visit chase.com/checking. Chase, make more of what's yours.
Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Messaging and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank, N.A. member FDIC.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago.
This is Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
So I mentioned that Brandon Cooks has been dealt by the Houston Texans to the Dallas Cowboys. I just saw this note, Brian. Jeff Mellor, Brian Hanley with you here on ESPN 1000 until 11 o'clock today. I saw now that Brandon Cooks has officially tied a record. He has been traded four times, which according to NFL Research Records, which dates back to 1980, that ties the record for most times an NFL player has been dealt. Do you have any idea who he tied, Bri? I know I'm putting you on the spot here.
No idea.
Eric Dickerson. So Brandon Cooks has tied the NFL record for most times traded, which is an
interesting. How old is he?
Brandon Cooks is 29 years old. He's got a shot to break that record.
I was going to say, he could move two, three more times before it's all said and done.
And Cooks has six seasons of over 1,000 yards. And he's often, you know, there's been plenty of times in the past where Brandon Cooks has been a wide receiver mentioned as somebody the Bears should be in the market for. Of course, they filled that need with the trade for acquiring DJ Moore. Last Friday, we talked about that a lot last Sunday, but of course DJ Moore was introduced along with some of those free agent signings that the Bears have added. Again, if you missed it this week, or if you haven't been keeping completely up to speed, so they land Tremaine Edmonds, Nate Davis, DeMarcus Walker. He is a edge rusher slash, you know, interior pass rusher. He can kind of move around, do both. TJ Edwards, another linebacker who will pair with Tremaine Edmonds. PJ Walker, he's the backup quarterback now. He played in Carolina quite a bit last year. He was DJ Moore's running mate in some ways. Travis Homer, who is a pass-catching back, special teams ace, if you will. Deontay Foreman, who is going to step in, and we haven't mentioned this, but Deontay Foreman will step in most likely to David Montgomery's role as the, I don't know if I'm going to call him the primary running back, because it wouldn't surprise me at all if Khalil Herbert and Foreman are almost a straight split when it comes to carries, but
sure,
he'll get a lot of carries. And then, of course, Robert Tonyan, the big tight end acquisition who played up north for the last few years, grew up a Bears fan, local kid, Robert Tonyan. And then Andrew Billings, the run-stuffing defensive tackle who played last year for the Las Vegas Raiders. So quite a bit of action for the Bears. And then we also noted David Montgomery. He officially signs with the Detroit Lions earlier this week.
How about that contract? I mean, God bless David Montgomery and every, you know, Ryan Poles loved the kid, loved his heart, loved his character. And 3 years, I mean,
18.
That's probably about $6 million more than the market would have told. But, you know, God bless him, he cashed. But that really surprised me that the Lions were willing to put that on the table for him. But,
The most interesting thing about, you're right, what really surprises me is they have DeAndre Swift there. Now, I know they're not enamored with him because he's really struggled with injuries and hasn't been available. And what's the old cliche in the NFL? The best ability is availability in the NFL. Yeah. And, you know, they haven't been able to count on DeAndre Swift as an explosive runner. But what was interesting was Jamal Williams goes over 1,000 yards rushing. Now, he barely cracked it, but he did go over 1,000 yards rushing. He broke the team record, which was held by Barry Sanders, for touchdowns this past season, going for his 17 touchdowns. And anybody who watched Hard Knocks and anybody who followed the Detroit Lions even a little bit this past year probably learned that Jamal Williams really did seem like the heart and soul of that team. Yep. He was an emotional leader and somebody who everybody loved. And what was interesting was that they let Jamal Williams leave for less money, and they go out and, as you said, they acquire David Montgomery on a 3-year deal, $18 million. And I have to believe, there's no way we'll ever know this, but I have to believe, having played against him twice a year for the 4 years that he was here in Chicago, I think the Detroit Lions saw something that they clearly liked, and I'm a little surprised though that they do. They go spend a little more money on him and let Jamal Williams leave.
Yeah, you called it last Sunday. You said, you know, when the quote unquote legal tampering period was going to start, it wasn't just going to be conversations. Like within the first hour, we were getting, deals done here. You know, here's 4 years, how many million, 3 years, that, those things were done like in a heartbeat, and it didn't take long. I mean, that first day, a lot of stuff got accomplished.
It's so ridiculous that they have switched. They have now. They now have this official legal tampering period, but we all know that there's illegal tampering happening because there's no way we could have announcements of deals within, 15 minutes of the legal tampering period opening, and then all of a sudden have deals come down the pipe. That's just, it's not realistic, right? When you're talking about multi-million dollar deals and all these free agent players out there, there's so much illegal tampering happening. It's just, it's humorous to me.
Yeah, I mean, I covered Stanley Cup Finals where, on the off day, you would see GMs sitting at, in a restaurant, the hotel with agents. They weren't just saying, how's the family and what's the life and kids up? Of course, that stuff was getting done.
Hammered out,
They don't get caught. Mostly it doesn't get caught. But, now, within an hour, you're spending $40 million, $50, $60 million on a guy. And you wrap that up in 5 minutes. Sure he did. Yeah.
So, and the interesting thing is, as that day unfolded, so the Bears were actually the first team to make a signing. TJ Edwards, their deal with him, of course, he grew up a Bears fan. He spoke about that. They land him. He's the first deal officially announced by Adam Schefter on Twitter. And then after that, there was a waiting period where it seemed like, okay, what's going to happen here? Let's go, Bears, do something. There was a couple-hour period where it seemed like the Bears were missing out. And in particular, the rumors surrounding Mike McGlinchey. It sounded like, per Diana Rossini, the Bears were definitely very interested and in on Mike McGlinchey, the 49ers right tackle, who ended up landing in Denver for a deal for $87 million, an AAV of 17.5 per season. And it sounded like, per Rossini, that the Bears were really, they thought they had a chance on getting him, but at some point, I don't know if it was the location that appealed to Mike McGlinchey or if the Denver Broncos were just able to go a little bit higher than the Bears were willing to go, but that's the one glaring omission right now that is not addressed by Ryan Poles of free agency right here. It's the tackle position, whether it's left tackle or right tackle. The Bears have not added a tackle. They did add Nate Davis, but I do wonder, are you handcuffing yourself with your first round pick here by not adding a tackle in free agency, because right now you can't tell me you're going to go to war when the season starts with a right tackle situation up in the air with Larry Borum and Tevin Jenkins, or, you know, and I would imagine if you're going to address it, you would want somebody who you think you can count on, which is why I think you're looking at the ninth overall pick as a potential tackle for the Bears.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Schrock wrote that the Bears were in until the very end on McGlinchey. And, you know, I don't think he wanted to go to Denver because Russell Wilson's there. I mean, he went there because the term I heard this, I learned, value buckets. We have value buckets now.
Yes.
I don't know what that is, but apparently Ryan Pulse has a bunch of them up at Hallis Hall. So he's disciplined. I mean, he talked about it when he met the media that, you know, we have valuations, we have expectations, we think this is the right market for a guy, and once the market takes off and goes north on him, he moves on. So yeah, I mean, he sticks, right or wrong, he sticks to their game plan, and we'll find out how that actually translates.
And the crazy thing about free agency, and we as fans observe him, the news breaks on Twitter and it's like, okay, here you go. The one thing that I think is hard to actually comprehend is the multitasking that's occurring, right? Like, Poles probably thought they had a pretty good shot of landing McGlinchey. Yep. And at some points, you know, whether it's McGlinchey's agent or somebody says, hey, Denver's going to this number, what can you do for us? All while you're still trying to acquire Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards, right? And as that's happening, Nate Davis, you're still trying to get those deals done. And then all of a sudden, the one you thought you had with McGlinchey is starting to, now you've got to make snap decisions while other free agents are demanding your attention as well. So it's one of those things where I think the Bears certainly thought they had an opportunity to land McGlinchey, but then it unfolds in a manner where, okay, well, they're not really willing to go to that number. And it's going to be interesting because I like what he's done. Disciplined, yes. He's made a lot of deals that are front-loaded, which gives the Bears flexibility in 3 or 4 years from now, where if for whatever reason they're not happy with Nate Davis or DeMarcus Walker or TJ Edwards or even Tremaine Edmonds, it's pretty easy to get out of those deals after 2 years and not be held up by what you've done in the past, which is great, right? But at the same time, this team was so bereft of talent last year that you wonder, has enough been done when your roster was just, you know, it was, you know, the worst record in football.
Sure.
You know, so has enough been done in free agency where you can attack the draft knowing that you've got you may have an opportunity here, especially with the likely, you know, departure of Aaron Rodgers, where there's an opportunity this season, if things go right with Justin Fields, to maybe make some noise in the NFC North.
Yeah, and a guy like DeMarcus Walker, I mean, he's kind of, you know, you look at his stats, 32 pressures, 7 sacks, 16 quarterback hits, and that looks pretty good on a Bears defense that couldn't get to the quarterback. But you're right. I mean, I guess, did we get clarity on what he's going to do with that number 9 overall pick? Because in the trenches, he still has either side of the ball. He's got a lot of work to do.
It feels like if they end up going with the tackle that they, you know, and no matter what happens, whoever's drafted, we're always here that's exactly the guy they wanted. I've never heard a GM go to the podium.
We can't believe we got him.
Yeah. If the next time I hear a general manager, an NFL GM say that they didn't like what was on the board and they just, you know, they kind of shifted around and, you know, ultimately the player they took was the best of what was remaining. No. It's always, we can't believe he fell to us at this spot. We had him much higher on our bar.
We were all shocked. We were, you know, we're jumping up and down in the war room because can you imagine that guy was at number 9? Yeah. When they're really thinking, boy, it was crap on a stick. And that's what we ended up with.
So we know that Ryan Poles will sell us on draft night that the Bears were always, they just, whoever they take, that was always a guy who was much higher on their draft board. But if they end up taking a tackle, I think it's fair to ask the question, did they box themselves in because, you know, and here's the other factor. It has to be in the trenches because if they're not going to take an offensive tackle, which again, whether it's Peter Skoronski or Paris Johnson Jr., those two seem like the most likely tackles who would be taken at that spot by the Bears.
No, it was shocking that Pat Fitzgerald really likes Skoronski.
Yes.
And that was also shocking.
Yes, yes.
Week.
At Northwestern's pro day, he would. His first thought was when the Bears traded the number one pick was that Peter Skoronski to the Bears. That was the first thing that occurred.
That's
to
it.
Pat Fitzgerald.
He would look perfect. He's a Bears fan, and it would make that. And whenever next time I hear a college coach say, "My guy, you don't want to take this guy." No, he's bad.
So that's the question: is with what the Bears have done in free agency, have they painted themselves into the corner where they essentially have to draft an offensive tackle with this first pick, or is defensive tackle still in play, or I guess edge rusher, defensive line help? It looks like it has to be in the trenches. We'll ask Josh Schrock of NBC Sports Chicago. He'll join us next.
Listen to the show in HD at 100.3 HD2 FM.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
So Ryan Poles, Bears GM, splashed around the cash to begin free agency earlier this week, but he did so with a discipline to maintain flexibility going forward. That's been the mantra from Hallis Hall, and we're going to take a deeper dive now as Josh Schrock of NBC Sports Chicago joins us here on ESPN 1000. Meller and Hanley with you till 11 o'clock today. And Bry, live on assignment in Columbus as he covers his alma mater, Marquette, to see if they can advance against Michigan State today. Let's bring in Josh now. Hey, Josh, thanks for joining us this morning. All right, so the Bears made, I guess I'll ask you this question because I'm looking it over right now at all the contract signings, and I'm thinking I'll call it three, but I guess I could be convinced that it's four. I think the Bears made three significant signings, and if you want to add DJ Moore in there as a fourth addition, I'll allow it. That would make sense. So I'm curious as to your thoughts so far as to how Ryan Poles has addressed free agency here with all the monies.
Yeah, it's been kind of interesting the way that the Bears went about it, I would say. I mean, Ryan Poles has told us from the beginning that it was going to be a long rebuild and that he wants to do it mainly through the draft. So I was kind of surprised that they haven't really addressed the defensive line and they chose to go so heavy on linebackers. But when you pull back the curtain and kind of look at how they evaluated what was kind of a weak free agent class, they really only saw two guys at the top that were worth the money, and that was Tremaine Edmonds, who they got, and Mike McGlinchey, who they did not get, who they were very involved with, and you know, whether it was a little bit of money or he just wanted to play for the Broncos, they don't get him. But they kind of shore up that linebacker position, so the second level is good. I really thought they would do more with the interior of the defensive line. I like DeMarcus Walker. He's a nice player, inside-out versatility. They've gotten better, but that's just because last year's roster was so bad. But overall, it's been solid, and, I mean, they still have money to spend, but they've got a lot of competent veterans, and then Tremaine Edmonds is a big signing, and I would include DJ Moore in that because they had to get Justin at least one more weapon. I think they still need to get him one more.
And Josh, you said, you know, in one of your pieces at NBC Sports Chicago, and also check out the Under Center podcast. It's great stuff. But they raised the floor, not necessarily reaching for the ceiling. So if this is the first step in a long process, do you have any idea how long that timeline is?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that kind of muddles that timeline is Justin, right? I think if Justin wasn't here, the timeline is probably a couple years, but it can't be because Justin's on year three of a rookie contract. And if he becomes the guy they want him to be, they're going to have to pay him coming up. So I think this did raise the floor. I think if you're talking playoffs, I would say this year the goal is to get, like, be playing meaningful football in the end of November, probably not competing for a wild card spot, and then 2024 they got to be competing for the playoffs.
So you mentioned McGlinchey there. We all heard that it sounded like he was clearly a top target for the Bears, but he ends up going to Denver. Do you think it was just it reached a threshold where Ryan Poles was no longer willing to go to that number, his AAV of 17.5, $50 million guaranteed with the Denver Broncos? Do you think it was just a threshold he wasn't willing to go past, or do you think the fact that maybe McGlinchey looked at Denver with Sean Payton as a little bit more ready to win?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of both. I mean, I've heard that, I mean, the Bears were in that $17 million kind of range with McGlinchey. So I think part of it is wanting to go to Denver. But I think also the 5 years was a lot. We talk a lot about flexibility, and you can obviously finagle these contracts so that 5 years is really two or three. But I do think the price probably just exceeded what the Bears wanted to pay for a right tackle, who's a really good player, and he's a good scheme fit, but he's still kind of he's a B player, right? They weren't going to go to 18 or 19 to get him away from the Broncos.
So did we get any clarity of what Ryan Poles is going to do with the number nines, assuming he's going to sit with that pick? He's got to do something in the trenches. I guess I'm assuming offense, even though you mentioned, and rightfully so, he didn't do enough defensively on the line. So Jalen Carter, that question's still out there, obviously, with the week he had. But did we get any clarity on what he's going to do with the first-round pick?
Not a lot of clarity. I mean, Ryan said that, you know, when they evaluated this draft class, and that includes the quarterbacks, they have seven players that they would take at number one. So they have seven what they call blue players. So they moved down to nine, and he said they're pretty confident that they're going to get one of those seven at nine. They're going to host Jalen Carter for a visit, try to find out more about him. I mean, it'd be a great fit probably on the field. I just don't know, with the character concerns, the questions about the love of football, you know, the racing, all that stuff, if the Bears can use that pick on a guy who might not love football, if you preach the hits principle, that's kind of a tough sell. I feel like they're going to go left tackle at nine and then address the defensive line with their two second-round picks and the third-round pick.
Josh Schrock covers the Bears for NBC Sports Chicago, joining us here on ESPN 1000 on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline here on ESPN 1000. Josh, so looking at, you know, the tackle market, McGlinchey was clearly their man, but the, you know, I'll play it real because it was so fast. He was asked, Ryan Poles, specifically about Orlando Brown, for those who did not hear it, about the scheme maybe not being a match.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into the specific player, but, you know, the scheme match is a big deal there.
All right, so my question to you is, I get it, and I'm willing to trust Ryan Poles, I guess blindly, especially when it comes to a player like Orlando Brown, because of his intimate, you know, inner knowledge of the Kansas City Chiefs organization. But at a certain point, too, it seemed like that price that Orlando Brown went for, it would have been, scheme fit or not, he would have been a huge upgrade on the Bears offensive line.
Yeah, no, I mean, I 100% agree with you. I understand the idea of evaluating all the free agents based on your scheme. That makes sense. That's what every team should do. But at a certain point, Orlando Brown's market doesn't really kind of come together the way he thinks. And the Bengals got him for, you know, what is essentially can be a 2-year deal for $34 million. They can get out of it after the second year. I think with Justin needing to take a big leap as a passer this season, you know, is Orlando Brown this nimble guy that can get out in space in the zone run scheme that great? Maybe not, but he gives them a huge upgrade in pass protection. So it's a deal that I think at $16 million a year, if I was Ryan Poles, I would have just spent like, okay, the scheme fit's not there, but this guy's going to help our quarterback be a lot better, and that has to be the goal in 2023.
Hey, Josh, tell our listeners who haven't, you know, shame on them for not having seen your piece on NBC Sports Chicago, but why did Deonta Foreman catch your eye?
Yeah, Deonta Foreman, he's just the kind of back that Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus want. I mean, Dave Montgomery, they talked a lot about how much they love him as a player and a person, but the Bears want burst and explosion runs, and Deonta Foreman had a really, really good year with the Carolina Panthers. He forced 34 missed tackles. He had 17 explosive runs. He had a big breakaway percentage, which is the number of yards you gain past 15 yards on a rush. So he's a really nice complement to Khalil Herbert. I would just say with both of those backs, the pass protection isn't tremendous. So that's something the Bears are really going to have to figure out because, you know, Justin just can't be taking as many hits as he did last year.
No, it's interesting, too. And, you wonder if, Travis Homer was a nice addition as a third down back. But also, are you going to be too, you know, obvious in what you're trying to do in the formations if every time Homer comes into the game, you know, you're looking to pass? And as you mentioned, Foreman and Khalil Herbert, neither is really a accomplished pass blocker. So it'll be an interesting way to see how the Bears backfield plays out. Josh Schrock joining us here on ESPN 1000. I'm curious, you know, we mentioned defensive tackles and you said they didn't really love it. What about Draymond Jones? He seemed like somebody who, especially as, you know, the first day of free agency or legal tampering unfolded, as that went late into the night, I thought the number was going to come in much higher than it actually did. And when it did, I have to say I was surprised that the Bears weren't more in on him, because I believe he got, what was it, 16, like 3 for 16, $51 million total with the Seattle Seahawks. He was somebody who surprised me that the Bears didn't end up with.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I mean, what I've been told leading into free agency was that Draymond Jones was going to get, you know, 17, 18, 19 a year. I thought the Cleveland Browns were going to be heavily involved in that, and I thought, okay, that might be too rich for the Bears, and I saw the Seahawks contract come in. It's like, well, 3 years, 51, which is essentially, I mean, $24 million in year one. It's pretty cheap after that, right? I think that's probably came down to scheme fit again. It's another guy where his market didn't clearly come together the way he thought, and if you're the Bears, I think that's maybe more the value. They talk so much about value. Maybe that's the value you should start looking at. It's like, hey, this guy's a really good player. Maybe a B scheme fit, not an A scheme fit. But if he's expecting X and comes in at Y, and he makes us a lot better, that's someone they probably should have gone for. I was really shocked that they weren't more involved and that he wasn't in that value bucket that Edmonds and McGlinchey were.
There's that. Josh, there's that word you talked about, Brian.
Yeah, value bucket. Yeah, we all should have value buckets. I'm learning something. You know, you think you've heard it all. But I thought on Friday I heard a caller call in Captain Jay Hood, Josh, and really go off on Eberflus and basically said he's unimpressed. You know, 3 wins is 3 wins. I get it. You're around this coaching staff and you're yep. observing. It's tough to judge given the, you know, lack of talent on the roster. But where do you stand? I mean, have you made any judgments on they seem competent, and certainly the crew they're coming in after, you know, it's not tough to best in Matt Nagy's group, but where do you stand on the coaching staff at this point?
You know, I mean, if I was grading it, it'd be incomplete just because, like you said, the lack of talent. But I was really impressed last year with how Eberflus was just able to get buy-in from everyone and then keep that buy-in. You know, they lose 10 straight games to end the season, and other than that week 17 game against the Lions where they got kind of run over, there was not really quit. Like there weren't guys making business decisions. They played really hard. And I think that I was impressed early on with the coaching staff. They were pretty good at making halftime adjustments, and even Eberflus himself would be open about, you know, hey, I made a mistake. And, you know, halftime of the Texans game, they have 3 timeouts. They take a knee and he says, okay, that I was a mistake. I messed that up. And then the next week, they do it differently, right? They try to go get points at the end of half against the Giants. So he's learning. I think we're going to find out way more about him this year because this team's just going to be better because they're going to have a lot more competent football players.
Josh, I guess we saved the biggest splash for last here. Tremaine Edmonds, he's the player that the Bears add. They spend the most on him, and he clearly is going to be compared often to Roquan Smith because he comes in for, you know, a lesser number than what Roquan got from Baltimore. But, you know, everybody's saying that Tremaine Edmonds, his length, and that's something that I expect Matt Eberflus to get more out of. How do you look at the Tremaine Edmonds signing?
Yeah, I think he's a good player. He's only 24, so he's still really young. I was kind of shocked at the number they gave him just because they talked so much about ball production, interceptions, taking the ball away. That's why Roquan wasn't a fit at the Will linebacker, and Tremaine Edmonds has not taken the ball away in his career. He only has 5 interceptions, 2 forced fumbles, and 6.5 sacks in 5 seasons. So they're really banking on the fact that this scheme and that Matt Eberflus can get him to do that. He's a very athletic linebacker. He's a tackling machine. I mean, the good part is him and TJ Edwards don't miss tackles. Bears linebackers were terrible at tackling last year. They missed like 12% of their tackles. Tremaine Edmonds only missed 7 tackles all of last year. So that's good. And he's getting better in coverage. So it's going to be on Matt Eberflus to make sure that contract doesn't flop, because clearly that's a guy he was pounding the table for.
Great stuff, Josh.
Yeah.
As always, man, we appreciate it. Thanks for hopping on this morning.
You got it, guys. Anytime.
Josh Rock of NBC Sports Chicago joining us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline here on ESPN 1000. Jeff Miller, Brian Hanley with you till 11 o'clock. You know what? We haven't played much polls. I'd like to, before we shift our conversation to some other things for the rest of the show here, but I'd like to play a little bit of polls for the folks who may have missed it in the introductory press conference with a lot of these free agents and DJ Moore as well. We'll do some of that next.
Listen to us now, live on the ESPN Chicago app. This is Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
You on Sunday morning here till 11 o'clock. Tyler Aki, Shay Norling with trying to remember the official title.
Basketball U. Yeah.
Coming your way at 11 o'clock. See if we can sneak in some tourney talk with them before they get started. A little bit of crosstalk with them around 10:45. So we have your brackets covered as well. But, we are your home of the Chicago Bears, and so we're talking plenty of Bears. It's been a very eventful week, and Ryan Poles met the media as he introduced not just DJ Moore, but plenty of other new additions, including Tremaine Edmonds, TJ Edwards. Again, they were very busy, but never, ever confuse activity with accomplishment, right, Brian? That's the key here. That's definitely the one thing to take away. So interesting. Ryan Poles talked about first and foremost on DJ Moore, the big trade acquisition, who was involved in the deal with the first overall pick, where the Bears received the ninth back, a first rounder, and DJ Moore, and also two second rounders. Poles talked about DJ Moore and what he brings to this organization.
Yeah, just a receiver that can create separation and make big plays. You know, I think this league needs, you know, this league shows you, you know, good teams have guys that make big plays in big moments. That's finishing a game off in the fourth quarter, or if that's getting things kicked off in the beginning. DJ has those traits, and we're excited to have him.
A little more from Poles on Moore and picks.
To add capital this year in the draft as well as the future and set ourselves up with 2 1s and 24, I couldn't be happier about that. But then when you add a player like DJ Moore, who can help us right now get better, continue to add weapons on our team, I was over the moon about that. And not only getting a great player, but when you get to know DJ here in a few minutes, you understand he's a really good person. He fits our culture and what we're trying to do, and keeps that room and our team and our locker room in a really good place.
Nothing really stands out from what Poles said there. I think it's, you know, he stated a lot of the obvious, what we expected and have talked about to this point.
Yeah, and when, you know, even signing Tonyan from the Packers, mm-hmm. right? You know, obviously he knows Luke Getsy, and more importantly, Getsy knows him. But as Josh Schrock wrote, he only had two drops over five seasons, according to Pro Football Reference. So, right. I mean, I know they have to pay Cole Kmet. I still can't believe the numbers they're talking about when I hear Cole Kmet's name.
Yeah.
But that's the league, I guess. And it's not because I don't like Cole Kmet, but they haven't exactly, or the previous regime certainly didn't know how to use him, or chose not to use him. So I still don't know how good a player he is, but I couldn't have named you the backup tight end at that, you know, before. So Tonyan's got to be an upgrade, right? I think he upgraded a lot of positions with what he did in free agency, but that list was so long, he didn't wow me with any of the moves he made this past week.
Yeah, no, I think that's the takeaways. There was really no wow, and the Bears had an opportunity to do so if they wanted to. They had the money in their pocket to make that play. And again, though, Ryan Poles is showing discipline, and when the number went beyond where he wanted to go, he wasn't going to go and overpay for free agency. And I'll commend him for that, because oftentimes, you know, all these players we're talking about, the one thing I think he's left himself room here is an opportunity to really get value, because he did sign so many players to short-term deals that very few, he's unlikely to regret, you know, any of these in any big way. And ultimately, you may have an opportunity to really extract some value. So I'm encouraged by his process so far. And again, I'll back to the David Montgomery point, right? Not overspending on a position that is very fungible in this league. I think that bodes well for Bears fans to know that you have a guy who I think understands the modern NFL and how to attack it. Let's try Greg. Greg's on ESPN 1000. Greg, what's going on this morning?
Not much. I'm just wondering about the possibility of Poles trading the number 9 pick for some team's lineman with an expiring contract and a first-round pick or second or high second-round pick next year and filling the line that way as opposed to being boxed in to have to take a tackle or something. They can get a player who maybe is a rental player, but if they find out, hey, we do want this guy and we're going to extend him then.
So it's a smart point, Greg, what he brings up there, the opportunity to maybe trade for a guy who's already on a deal. That's another opportunity that the cap room gives you, right, Bri? And I know Brenson Buckner is somebody who has been, you know, rumored quite a bit as a possibility. Now, I don't think the Bears would be giving up the 9th overall pick in any deal that involves someone like Buckner, but maybe, just maybe, you have this cap room and you can go ahead and I think trading for another veteran player is still a possibility, although I don't think the 9th overall pick would be involved in a deal like that.
No, I think he's going to utilize, and people say, well, you know, I think he's even said we can move up, we can move down. And certainly, yeah, those are possibilities, obviously. But in the NFL, until just a few years ago, trades weren't, I mean, you didn't see big trades, right? Roquan Smith wouldn't get moved like he got moved by the Bears last season. The league just didn't operate that way, right? It didn't. So anything's possible right now. I think he's going to use the number 9 overall pick. I really do. Because a guy comes in on a rookie contract, it gives them that much more flexibility. And you can sit there for 3 years if you believe, you know, that you've scouted him correctly and graded him out correctly. You know, it's a bargain. I mean, and it's an asset, and it keeps that free agent money available to go get, you know, next offseason to utilize the free agent money in the market. So I think he's going to utilize the pick, but yeah, trades are much more common now because they were non-existent about 5 years ago.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, you know, Poles has laid out too. He's dropped hints plenty of times about having 7 blue chip players that he's interested in, with the quarterback sprinkled in. It seems like a very good possibility he could get one of those 7 blue players he's talked about at that 9 spot. So I think he'd kind of have to be blown away yet again if he ends up dealing that 9th overall pick. And forgive me, I know I said Brenson Buckner. I'm getting my Buckner defensive tackles confused. That's former defensive tackle Brenson Buckner. I meant DeForest Buckner of the Colts. So
I would have said Bill Buckner, so you're way ahead of me.
At least I was in the right sport there. Thank you for picking me up there, Bri.
in the right era, yeah.
312-332-3776. If you'd like to talk some football with us, we also have some WBC I'd like to chat about. Huge blow for the Bulls, one we kind of saw coming. That is coming your way in the 10 o'clock hour. And, of course, we'll talk some tourney as well. Plenty to do here on ESPN 1000 back in 2 short minutes.